From NPR News, this is special coverage this morning. President Trump has begun an unscheduled news conference in Brussels at the NATO summit. We're going to turn to the president now.
That's been put up by the various countries, not including the United States. And the United States commitment to NATO is very strong, remains very strong, but primarily because everyone, the spirit they have, the amount of money they're willing to spend, the additional money that they will be putting up, has been really, really amazing to see it. To see the level of spirit in that room is incredible. And I hope that we're going to be able to get along with Russia. I think that we probably will be able to. The people in the room think so, but they really stepped up their commitment and stepped it up like they never have before. So we took in an additional 33. The number could actually be higher than 40 when they give you the final number. The Secretary General Stoltenberg will be giving those numbers sometime today, probably in his concluding press statement. But we are doing numbers like they've never done before or ever seen before. And you'll be seeing that, and I guess you'll be hearing that a little bit later. Okay, we have our Secretary of State, as you know, and we have John is here. So if you have any questions for the three of us, Mike Pompeo just got back from a third trip, as you know, to North Korea. He's become a true expert on the trips to North Korea, the best way to get there, the best way to get out. And he gets along very well, and he's doing a great job over there. Yes, ma'am. Yes. I told people that I'd be very unhappy if they didn't up their commitments very substantially, because the United States has been paying a tremendous amount, probably 90% of the cost of NATO. And now people are going to start, and countries are going to start upping their commitments. So I let them know yesterday, actually. I was surprised that you didn't pick it up. It took till today. But yesterday, I let them know that I was extremely unhappy with what was happening, and they have substantially upped their commitment. Yeah. And now we're very happy and have a very, very powerful, very, very strong NATO, much stronger than it was 2 days ago. Yes, ma'am. Yes, hi, how are you? I know you're very famous on television.
Did you ever at any point say that the U.S., though, might stop engaging with NATO? And do you think that your rhetoric helps NATO cohesion, or are you worried that people might think that the U.S. is going to not be as committed to NATO? There are a lot of people who say they were worried and stressed by what you did yesterday.
Well, they were probably worried because the United States was not being treated fairly, but now we are because the commitment has been up so much. So now they are. And I was very firm yesterday. You have to understand, I know a lot of the people in the room. I was here last year. I let them know last year in a less firm manner, but pretty firm, and they raised an additional $33 billion, I think going to $40 billion, but it's $33 billion as of today. And then today and yesterday, I was probably a little bit more firm. But I believe in NATO. I think NATO is a very important, probably the greatest ever done. But the United States was paying for anywhere from 70 to 90% of it, depending on the way you calculate. That's not fair to the United States. In addition to that, as you know, we're in negotiations with the EU, and we're going to be meeting with them next week. We've been treated very unfairly on trade. Our farmers have been shut out of the European Union. Now, you could say they're different, but basically, to a large extent, they're the same countries. So I think we're going to be ultimately treated fairly on trade. We'll see what happens. But I can tell you that NATO now is really a fine-tuned machine. People are paying money that they never paid before. They're happy to do it. And the United States is being treated much more fairly. Yes, sir.
PBS NewsHour. Did you win any concessions in your meeting and discussions with the German chancellor when it comes to German defense spending and also this issue of purchasing energy from Russia? And secondly, what would you say to your critics that say by creating this scene here at NATO, you're only enabling President Putin in Russia to further disturb things in Ukraine and Georgia?
Well, if you consider putting up tremendously, you know, the additional funds at a level that nobody's ever seen before, I don't think that's helping Russia. I think that NATO is much stronger now than it was 2 days ago. I think that NATO was not doing what they were supposed to be doing, a lot of the countries, and we were doing much more than we should have been doing. Frankly, we were carrying too much of a burden. That's why we call it burden sharing. I was using the term a lot today, burden sharing. We had a fantastic meeting at the end, 29 countries, and they are putting up a lot. Germany is increased very substantially their time period, and Germany's coming along, and we still have to figure out what's going on with the pipeline, because the pipeline is coming in from Russia, so we're going to have to figure that out. I brought it up, nobody brought it up but me, and we all are talking about it now, and actually I think the world is talking about it now, maybe more than anything else, but we're going to figure that out. And frankly, maybe everybody's going to have a good relationship with Russia, so there'll be a lot less problem with the pipeline. But to me, that was a very major point of contention. We discussed it at length today. Germany has agreed to do a lot better than they were doing, and we're very happy with that. We had a very good relationship with Angela Merkel. Yes.
Mr. President.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Margaret Tala from Bloomberg.
Yes. After all these years, I know, Margaret. Go ahead.
Thank you. Maybe I'm being dense here, but could you just clarify, are you still threatening to potentially pull the United States out of NATO for any reason? And do you believe you can do that without Congress's explicit support and approval?
I think I probably can, but that's unnecessary. And the people have stepped up today like they've never stepped up before. And remember the word, $33 billion more they're paying. And you'll hear that from the Secretary General in a little while. He thanked me, actually. He actually thanked me. And everybody in the room thanked me. There's a great collegial spirit in that room that I don't think they've had in many years. They're very strong. So, yeah, very, very unified, very strong, no problem, right?
We're in
yes.
NATO, no, no, okay.
No problem.
Mr. President, Jonathan Lemire with the Associated Press.
Sure.
You have said previously you wanted the countries to step up their spending at 2%. Yesterday, the suggestion might be 4% or perhaps 2% at a much quicker timetable.
Yeah.
Can you clarify, what did they commit to doing?
Yeah.
Is that satisfactory to you?
So what they're doing is spending at a much faster clip. They're going up to the 2% level. Now, you have to understand, some of them have parliaments, they have their own congresses, they have a lot of things they have to go to. So, you know, they're here as a prime minister, as a president, and they can't necessarily go in and say, this is what we're going to do, but they're going back for approvals. Some are at 2%, others have agreed definitely to go to 2%, and some are going back to get the approval, and which they will get, to go to 2%. After we're at 2%, we'll start talking about going higher. But I said, ultimately, we should be in years in advance, we should be at 4%. I think 4% is the right number. Now, the United States, depending on the way you calculate it, was at 4.2%. And I said, that's unfair. And we have the largest GDP by far, especially since we've increased it by so much since the thing called the election. Our GDP has gone way up. And so the fact that our GDP went way up, that means we're paying for even more, which is very unfair. So I explained that. We will go to much higher than 2% into the future, but right now we're getting people up to 2%, and that'll take place over a fairly short period of time, a short number of years. Okay? Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Tomislav Krasnets from Večernji List, Croatian daily newspaper. We understand your message.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. We understand your message, but some people ask themselves, will you be tweeting differently once you board the Air Force One? Thank you.
No, that's other people that do that. I don't. I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Jeremy Diamond with CNN. How are you?
Jeremy.
Quick question with regards to Germany and the comments that you made yesterday. Do you feel like, given the threats that you made about potentially leaving NATO, about insulting Germany's sovereignty, it appears, by suggesting they are totally controlled by Russia, do you feel like that's an effective way to conduct diplomacy? And secondly, would you be able to be a little bit more specific about the commitments that you secured today with regards to increasing financial commitment? Is there an updated timeline? Are there specific countries you could cite? Because a majority of them are already planning to meet that 2% threshold by 2024?
No, many of them. In fact, Germany was going to be in the year 2028 or 30. Yeah, I think it's a very effective way to deal, but I didn't deal exactly the way you said. I have great respect for Germany. My father's from Germany. Both of my parents are from the EU, despite the fact they don't treat us well on trade, but I think that'll change also. And I think we'll see that because on the 25th of July, they're coming in to start negotiations with me. We'll see. And if they don't negotiate in good faith, we'll do something having to do with all of the millions of cars that are coming into our country and being taxed at a virtually zero level, at a very low level. But Jeremy, I think it's been a very effective way of negotiating, but I'm not negotiating. I just want fairness for the United States. We're paying for far too much of NATO. NATO is very important, but NATO is helping Europe more than it's helping us. At the same time, it's very good for us. So we have now got it to a point where people are paying a lot more money, and that's starting really last year. It really had, as you were there last year, and last year we had a big impact. Again, we took in $33 billion more, and if you ask Secretary General Stoltenberg, he gives us total credit, meaning me, I guess, in this case, total credit, because I said it was unfair. Now, what has happened is presidents over many years, from Ronald Reagan to Barack Obama, they came in, they said, okay, hey, do the best you can, and they left. Nobody did anything about it. And it got to a point where the United States was paying for 90% of NATO. And that's not fair. So it's changed. We had a really good meeting today. We had a great meeting in terms of getting along. I know most of the people in the room because of last year, because of the year and a half that we've been in office, year and a half plus, but we have a great relationship. Everybody in that room, by the time we left, got along and they agreed to pay more, and they agreed to pay it more quickly. Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
Hey, Mr. President, Philip Rucker from the Washington Post. You tweeted yesterday, what good is NATO? And you've talked about NATO as an alliance that benefits Europe, that defends and protects Europe. Do you see any value of NATO to the United States vis-a-vis Russia? Does it help protect the United States from Russia, in your view?
I think it's another very strong ally, as together it's much stronger than obviously individual countries. I think it's the way we have it now. I think it's a much, I think NATO got, you know what was happening with spending prior to my getting into office. The numbers were going down. Now the numbers have gone up like a rocket ship. The numbers have gone up a lot, and they've gone up rapidly, and they're now going up further. So I think NATO is going to be very, very effective. I'm very impressed with, and really know, and he's a friend of mine, but Secretary General Stoltenberg has done a fantastic job in putting it all together. And we were the ones that really, we gave him an extension of his contract, as you know. I think he's done a really good job. I think that when I was saying that, I am very concerned with the pipeline. I don't like the pipeline. And when I talk about NATO, I say, how do you have NATO? And then you have somebody paying the people that you're protecting against. But maybe we'll get along with the group that we're protecting against. I think that's a real possibility. As you know, I'm meeting with President Putin on Monday. And I think we go into that meeting not looking for so much. We want to find out about Syria. We will, of course, ask your favorite question about meddling. I will be asking that question again. But we'll also be talking about other things. We'll be talking about Ukraine. Ukraine was here today, by the way. And, you know, it's very interesting to hear what they had to say. So, excuse me? Well, he may. I mean, look, he may. You know, what am I going to do? If he may deny it. I mean, it's one of those things. So all I can do is say, did you, and don't do it again. But he may deny. I mean, well, you'll be the first to know. Okay? Yes, go ahead.
If you're just joining us, we are listening to audio from Brussels, where President Trump is giving an unscheduled press conference as he wraps up meetings at the NATO summit. Let's hear more now from President Trump in Brussels.
To make them actually well, they will. They will. I have no doubt about it. They all made commitments, and they will be up to 2%. It'll be over a period, a relatively short period of years. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Yes, go ahead.
Georgian TV, Politra News. Mr. President, what do you think today needs or not Georgia most support from NATO? And I want to ask about
Georgia? They were here today represented. You
know. Yes. And will you talk about Georgia in a meeting with President Putin?
Well, they were here. They made a very favorable impression. and we listened to their plight. It's a tough situation with Georgia, but they made a very favorable impression in the room, okay? Yeah, go ahead. Go.
One more question.
Yeah, you really did. Come on, go ahead.
Well, I had a question as well, but nonetheless, I'll ask her. Will you recognize?
Go ahead.
Will you recognize Crimea as part of Russia when you meet President?
Well, that's an interesting question because, you know, long before I got here, President Obama allowed that to happen. That was on his watch, not on my watch. You know, people like to say, oh, Crimea. But the fact is, they built bridges to Crimea. They just opened a big bridge that was started years ago. They built, I think, a submarine port, substantially added billions of dollars. So that was on Barack Obama's watch. That was not on Trump's watch. Would I have allowed it to happen? No, I would not have allowed it to happen. But he did allow it to happen. So that was his determination. What will happen with Crimea from this point on? That I can't tell you. But I'm not happy about Crimea. But again, that was Barack Obama's watch, not Trump's watch. Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
Jeff Mason from Reuters, sure. Mr. President.
No, Jeff.
Regarding your summit with President Putin, will you be raising arms control issues? Would you like to extend New START? And will you raise concerns about violations of the INF Treaty?
Yes.
And as a follow-up to the NATO meeting today, will you suggest to him or would you consider stopping military exercises in the Baltic states if that's something that he requests?
Well, perhaps we'll talk about that. But I will say that we are going to be talking about those three issues and many more. We'll be talking about it, Jeff. Okay? Go ahead.
Ivo Caizzi, Corriere della Sera. We are in the NATO headquarters that costed almost the double as planned before. I would like to know if you are planning to guarantee the taxpayers that the new money that is flowing into NATO will be spent in the best possible way, especially the money coming from countries that have several problems with the public finances.
Well, the money will be spent properly. And one of the things that we have many wealthy countries with us today, but we have some that aren't so wealthy. And they did ask me if they could buy the military equipment and could I help them out. And we will help them out a little bit. We're not going to finance it for them, but we'll make sure that they're able to get payments and various other things so they can buy. Because the United States makes by far the best military equipment in the world, the best jets, the best missiles, the best guns, the best everything. We make by far. I mean, that's one thing. I guess I assumed it prior to taking office, but I really learned since being president, our equipment is so much better than anybody else's equipment. When you look at our companies, Lockheed and Boeing and Grumman, what the material, the equipment that we make is so far superior. Everybody wants to buy our equipment. In fact, it's a question, can they make it? Because they are doing very well. Can they make it for so many people? So we are helping some of those countries get online and buy the best equipment. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Kristen Brown with Fox News.
If you're just joining us, we are listening to President Trump, who is at the NATO summit in Brussels. This is a news conference, an unscheduled news conference, and we'll continue now listening in on this news conference with President Trump in Brussels.
That I was doing it, and they gave us our best wishes or their best wishes. Now, with that being said, we'll see what happens. Just a loose meeting. It's not going to be big schedule. I don't think it should take a very long period of time. And we'll see where it leads. But it could lead to something very productive. And maybe it's not. But I think meeting with people is great. We had a great meeting with Chairman Kim. And I'll tell you, Mike Pompeo did a fantastic job. I might ask you to say a few words, Mike, while you're here. Just one second. Mike, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I did. I returned, actually came straight from North Korea with a couple of stops here to Brussels. We had a productive conversation. There remains a great deal of work to do. But I think most importantly, my counterpart, Kim Jong-chol, made a commitment consistent with what President Trump was able to achieve with Chairman Kim, which was they intend to denuclearize, they're going to accomplish it, and now the task is to get it implemented.
I think just to finish on that, you know, it's so important. That was an amazing, really an amazing meeting, I thought. And I really think that we established very good relationships. We'll see where it all lands. But there have been no missile tests. There have been no research. There has been
They have blown up a site. I hear they're blowing up another site, missile site. They've taken down all of the propaganda. In fact, somebody said there's no more music playing at the borderline. You know, the music was going on for many years. They said recently that, wow, there's no more of the heavy music and the propaganda. They've done a lot of things. And we got back our three hostages. So it's a good process. But the main thing is there have been no rocket launches. There have been no missile tests. There's been no nuclear tests, no explosions, no nothing for almost 9 months. Okay. Yeah, please. Sure.
Ewan McCaskill from The Guardian. Your trip to the UK, there are lots of protests planned in London and elsewhere. How do you feel about that?
I think it's fine. I mean, I think they like me a lot in the UK. I think they agree with me on immigration. I'm very strong on immigration. I made a point today. I said, you've got to stop. You're ruining your – you're going to have a lot of problems. You see what's going on throughout the world with immigration. I probably at least partially won an election because of immigration. If you look at Italy, Giuseppe, who I got to know quite well over the last month and a half, he won his election because of strong immigration policies on Italy. I think that a lot of the people in the U.K. – I think that's why Brexit happened. Now, I don't know what's going on with the negotiation. Who knows? But – and I guess that's become a very interesting point of contention. I said I'm going to a few hot spots. We have NATO, then we have the U.K., and then we have Putin. And I said Putin may be the easiest of them all. You never know. But I'm going to a pretty hot spot right now, right, with a lot of resignations. But I will say that immigration is a very important thing. And I told them today the EU, the European Union, better be very careful because immigration is taking over Europe, and they better be very, very careful. And I said that loud and clear. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
President Trump, Radu Tudor, Antena 3 Romania. What yes. will you tell President Putin about this summit and about NATO?
Well, I think he's going to see about this summit. This has turned out to be a very successful summit. This is, I think really that NATO is more put together right now, is more coordinated, and I think there's a better spirit for NATO right now than perhaps they've ever had. It's richer than it ever was. The commitments are made at a higher level than they've ever been made, and the money to be paid out faster, far faster. You know, the 2% was a range, a goal. It wasn't something that they were committed to. Now it's a commitment. There's a big difference, the 2% number. And that's why so many people weren't reaching it or hitting it. It was just sort of like this amorphous number out there. Now it's a commitment, a real commitment. I think he's going to see that there's great unity, great spirit, great esprit de corps. And I think we're going to have a good meeting. Regardless of that, I think we're going to have a good meeting. But this was a fantastic 2 days. This was a really fantastic. It all came together at the end. And yes, it was a little tough for a little while. But ultimately, you can ask anybody at that meeting. They're really liking what happened over the last 2 days. There's a great, great spirit leaving that room. Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Jonathan Beale from BBC. I just wonder, you think you're going to get along with President Putin at that meeting? Could you just tell us, why do you think that? Is there something you admire about him? And the second question, because you're just about to go to the UK.
Well, he's a competitor. He's been very nice to me the times I've met him. I've been nice to him. He's a competitor. You know, somebody was saying, is he an enemy? He's not my enemy. Is he a friend? No, I don't know him well enough. But the couple of times that I've gotten to meet him, we got along very well. You saw that. I hope we get along well. I think we get along well. But ultimately, he's a competitor. He's representing Russia. I'm representing the United States. So, in a sense, we're competitors. Not a question of friend or enemy. He's not my enemy. And hopefully someday, maybe he'll be a friend. It could happen. But I just don't know him very well. I've met him a couple of times. And when I did meet him, most of you people were there. Yes.
And Brexit. Sorry, sir, because you are going to the UK. What will be your message on Brexit?
Well, Brexit is, you know, I've been reading a lot about Brexit over the last couple of days, and it seems to be turning a little bit differently, where they're getting at least partially involved back with the European Union. I have no message. It's not for me to say. I own a lot of property there. I'm going to Scotland while I wait for the meeting. I have Turnberry in Scotland, which is a magical place, one of my favorite places. I'm going there for 2 days while I wait for the Monday meeting. But it's not for me to say what they should be doing in the UK. I have great friendships. My mother was born in Scotland. I have great friendships over there. We have a wonderful ambassador, Woody Johnson. And he's doing it. By the way, Woody's doing a great job. But it's not for me to say. I'd like to see him be able to work it out so it could go quickly, whatever they work out. Is it heartbreaking? Hard Brexit, I see. I thought you said it was heartbreaking. I said that might be going a little bit too far. Right? Heartbreak.
We've been listening to special coverage of President Trump's news conference in Brussels as the NATO summit is wrapping up. This is an unscheduled news conference. The president decided to come out and speak to reporters. Among other things, he said that the United States commitment to NATO remains very strong. He also was taking a lot of credit for what he says is an increase in military spending from NATO countries, something he has been calling for some time now, and suggesting that the alliance has grown stronger in the last few days because of his pleas to these countries. Let's turn now to NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson, who is with us. Hi there, Mara.
Hi there, David.
All right, let's start with one of the big messages here. It is not insignificant that the president is standing here in Brussels and saying that the U.S. commitment to NATO is strong because, I mean, I think it was just not even a day ago that he was questioning what use NATO had. So what are we hearing here? How big is this?
My head is spinning. And
mine
what
too.
I want to know from people over there is what happened overnight?
Yeah.
He went from a NATO basher to a NATO booster. I mean, his rhetoric has completely changed on this. He said that NATO is strong. His commitment to NATO is strong. It sounds like for the first time, President Trump took yes for an answer. What he said he had never admitted that he threatened to pull out of NATO. He said, I just told them I'd be very angry if they didn't increase their commitments. And until we find the details, it sounds like what he's saying that he got from them is what he already had. In other
Which
words, he said
2%?
They're going to be getting to 2% in a very short period of time. They'd already agreed to get to 2% by 2024 before he was elected president. And he didn't say anything today that suggests he got anything different from that. He said 2% used to be just a vague goal. Now it's a commitment. Many people had advised him to declare success when he got to Europe. In other words, to say that NATO is doing what he's asking them to do. And it sounds like he was doing that. He said NATO
like
is
he's taking
more
some
put
of that advice
together
right
now. Yes, it's more together and coordinated than ever before. And of course, he took credit for it, which is
right.
Fine. But so this is a real reversal. And he went from threatening to tear apart the Western alliance. He said NATO was obsolete. He said, we are the schmucks that pay for the EU. I mean, the language was very, very harsh. He denigrated Germany for doing business with Russia.
But then says he loves Germany. And
now
has a great
he says
relationship
he loves
with
Germany.
Angela Merkel,
so,
which is
so this
what
is,
has changed
this
beyond
was
his
a
message?
Well,
I mean, it's,
well,
that,
this,
that's the big question
well,
we're going to have to answer.
Well, that's the biggest thing that changed because a president's message is important. And if he was around there, you know, using rhetoric that was suggesting that the United States' commitment to NATO was not ironclad, that's something that Vladimir Putin has been wishing and hoping for. This would be beyond Putin's wildest dreams. This was the most well-behaved President Trump I have ever seen.
In this news conference. But I have
in
to ask you,
conference.
Now that you brought up Putin, I'm really curious because while we're talking about kind of the overarching message, I heard a couple things that really struck my ears. And one was when you go to Russia and sit down with Vladimir Putin, would you consider talking about stopping taking part in military exercises in the Baltics? And just to give people context, I mean, the Baltics are NATO countries right on the doorstep of Russia. And those military exercises are really important to those countries. So this is something that would very much be on the mind of NATO as he moves on to Helsinki in that big meeting with Putin.
That's right. There's still lots of questions. He didn't, even though he gave the kind of commitment to NATO that he never has, and I'm sure all of those NATO diplomats and world leaders are heaving a huge sigh of relief at that, he left all the questions open about what he would do or give to Vladimir Putin. He said, what will happen, I don't know. Although he downplayed the meeting by saying, it's just a loose meeting, no big schedule, could lead to something productive. He was asked about whether he would recognize Crimea, something he suggested he might do. This would be extraordinary if he did that, because it would be validating the violation of a sovereign border in Europe for the first time since World War II. He's blamed it, as he has in the past, all on President Obama. But he just said, we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Mara Lassen, I want to turn briefly to NPR's Frank Langfitt, who is in London and has also been listening into this news conference. And Frank, I just want to ask you, does the president deserve as much credit as he is taking here? Should he be declaring victory for some sort of successful NATO summit?
The money was rising back before he became president because of the concerns about Russia and Crimea, just as Mara mentioned. So, no, this was already happening. I think what's fascinating to me, David, is he came in yesterday and created a real sense of crisis. He frightened people in Europe, and then today he declares victory. Now, from a political theater perspective, that's really clever, and I think that he has everyone talking about it. So, in that sense, he's had a kind of a big win today.
All right. NPR's Frank Langfitt in London and NPR's Mara Liasson joining us from Washington. Thank you both. We really appreciate it. Again, we've been listening to President Trump deliver an unscheduled news conference in Brussels after a NATO summit, declaring victory in a way, saying that NATO is stronger and taking credit for that. We're going to have to hear from European leaders on that subject as the hours go forward.